Good evening, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. Creative Learning Concepts serves as a perfect complement to the school systems, offering resources and assistance to students who, for whatever reason, may fall behind or out of sync. Each show, we discuss how to cope with some of the challenges students face as they navigate their way through the academic and personal growth world of education. How do we as parents, educators, therapists, and clinicians keep children engaged and wanting to come to school and actually enjoying the process of learning? How do we help build a successful, stress-free academic environment? We'll be talking with Lisa Popper about areas of education that may not be addressed in school or even at home for that matter. Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist, is joining us again for a lively discussion. We will be right back on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, Lisa Popper, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about the importance of early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now, Lisa, I'm going to ask you, you've been in business, Creative Learning Concepts has been in business since 1999. Can you please talk to us about the type of students you see here and treat here?
Yes, Anne-Marie, thank you. I've been in business for quite a long time. I cannot believe it's been since 1999. I have everyone coming to the clinic with big question marks. What am I going to do with my son? He's melting down. He's got this wrong with him and that wrong with him. He's not keeping up in math. He's not keeping up in this subject or that subject. I sometimes have parents coming to me who have been totally baffled at where to go, and instead of coming to Creative Learning Concepts first, they'll go to an English tutor. Oh, maybe they're slow in English. I'll take them to an English tutor, or I'll take them to a math tutor. And it wastes so much time. And then they come to me after nothing else is working. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we bring it all together and we do the proper testing and we find out what's wrong, whether it's a processing problem. And I have to say, too, that a lot of these kids are really bright kids, and it's just a blip that has to be addressed. And if you don't get the proper amount of, or the proper kind of testing, or the proper tutor in whatever subject this the child is struggling in, it's not going to work. You're not going to see any progress. And I also have people bring their kids in who have language issues, kids who have socialization issues, and we have to teach them about social language and how to have relationships with fellow students and adults, and in the real world, what they can't do, we teach them how to do. And we have kids with every dis imaginable, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia. Did I forget any of the disses, or did I get them all? And we test for that. We have a myriad of clinicians here who test for social language issues, processing issues. And I have to say, we do a great job, and we nip it in the bud. And we also pair the students with the proper education therapist for whatever ails them. And we try to get them where they need to be as quickly as possible. We don't like to keep a student here longer than what's actually necessary. We like to mainstream them as soon as possible.
Right, and so basically you're one of the things you're very good at is the parents who have kids that maybe they're behind in several subjects and the parents haven't quite pulled it all together as to what's going on. And rather than jumping from here to there, from a speech therapist to a psychologist, a clinician, they're able to come here and it's like a one-stop shop then. Is that what you're saying? You're able to pull it all together?
Yes, we have. That's exactly what it is. We have psychologists. We have speech pathologists. We have people who work with fine and gross motor skills. And that's a huge issue, too, that I neglected to mention earlier. We have kids who have no bilateral coordination that we have to help them with. So it is a one-stop shop.
So, for example, you know, somebody who's got a child who they're seeing that they're not doing well in math, or they're not doing well socially, or they're not doing well in English, and there's maybe a myriad of different things going on, they're able to come in here and start here, and then you're actually farming them out to the clinicians that are under your jurisdiction and pulling the whole thing together in order to, and sometimes also you've mentioned that something might be missed. There may be something there, an overarching principle that's being missed.
Yes, Anne-Marie, sometimes something just isn't clicking, and we have to leave no stone unturned. At Creative Learning Concepts, I have trained all my therapists to do just that. Yes, you might have one test kit that you'll use. Let's say I'm going to pick dyslexia off the top of my head. But there are so many different levels of dyslexia, and there's no one dyslexia program. I had somebody call me up and said, well, my grandson's using the program for dyslexia, and I had to tell her there's no one program for dyslexia, and everything has to be custom tailored. You can't use everything out of the box of dyslexia. It just doesn't happen that way. And the same with whatever the diagnosis turns out to be. There are always exceptions to every rule and every disorder.
So certainly what you're doing here is very customized, but I would imagine that one of the things you have to do, first of all, probably is educate the parents, right?
That is a whole other issue in itself. A lot of times the parents just don't know what to do and they're at their wits' end. And I have to teach them, let's say, I have to teach them to calm down, first of all. So I teach them meditation skills. I teach them coping skills, which most do not have or could have at a greater level.
Yes, well, that's very interesting, including your teaching and, the parents about how to handle the problems. Well, we're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show with Lisa Popper, founder of the Popper Institute and director of Creative Learning Concepts. For more information on the Popper Institute, you can call 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, Lisa Popper, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about the importance of early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now let's pick up where we left off in the last segment. Lisa, I know that you pull it together for parents who are confused about where they need to go, or their kids have a myriad of problems. Give us an example, will you? I'm familiar with the work you do. Give us an example of a student that you had who came to you with this type of presentation and constellation of mixed problems.
Thank you, Emery. One boy comes to mind who came to me after his mother and father flew all over town to this person, to this one and that one, and with to no avail. They couldn't find somebody to help their son. And then, excuse me, they were given a referral, me, thank you very much, they appealed to me, and I saw their son, and I was just truly amazed at everything that needed to be addressed. He had to start, part of his brain, left hemisphere, was not developed, so we had to deal with that issue. He had sensory integration dysfunction. His whole sensory system was out of whack totally. He displayed a lot of self-injurious behaviors when he became anxious. He barely spoke. I think he had 4 to 5 words that I can remember in his vocabulary, so we had to deal with that. He had no friends. He was bullied in school because of his behavioral issues, and we had to start from A and go to Z, and then I had to deal with his parents, who were truly just distraught.
So he had actually been diagnosed and had gone to other clinics or hospitals, and I know you've mentioned this case before. So he actually had been diagnosed with several different disorders, and they were trying to hop, skip, and jump for various different treatments, and none of it was actually pulling together. I mean, I want to make sure we understand what happened, and how did you handle pulling it all together? How long was he with you?
He was with me for about 10 years, a long time. We had a lot of work to do, and to start off, I tested him to see where his levels were. And I knew I had a lot of work to do. And every 3 years after that, I tested him because he had an IEP, and I wanted to make sure he was getting what he needed to get in school. And luckily, he was in a district that didn't fight with me, but he got everything he needed.
Yeah, and just for some of our listeners who might not know what that is, can you explain what an IEP is?
An IEP stands for Individualized Education Plan. And it's put in place when a student with a formal diagnosis from either a pediatrician, a neuropsychologist, or a psychiatrist gives that to the school, and a meeting is set in place with either an advocate and the parents or whoever is working with the child and the parents. They meet with everybody in the education arena, and they figure out what he needs and who's going to do what, whether the school is going to give him speech path 3 days a week, 1 day a week, what I was going to do. And I saw him. I ended up seeing him for 4 hours on a Saturday because they did not live close to my office. And I wanted to make the travel as short as possible for them. But I made sure when I went to these IEP meetings that he got whatever he needed in school, and we set measurable goals. For instance, let's call him Johnny. Johnny will do A, B, and C in 3 months. Johnny will do E and F in 8 months. Things like that. Measurable goals, doable goals. And I knew I had to do a very methodical program, a very sequential program for him, and I had to do ongoing testing as we went along. So it was quite a feat.
Now, I mean, that's kind of an unusual case, because I imagine that you mentioned earlier on in the show that most of your students get in and get out, and they are your goal is to not have them in therapy or in this type of clinical help for a long period of time. In other words, you're obviously an adjunct to the school, and you're there to reintegrate the student back into the school system. This was an unusual situation of a very long-term therapy, but can you explain to us at the end of time, you know, how did he come in, how did he go out at the end?
It was a world of difference from when he came in. He spoke well. He had the tools he needed to help himself when he became anxious in school, but I needed to put a lot of other things in place that I know nobody does. And I pride myself at Creative Learning Concepts to think outside the box and to give students activities that they can do at home that build confidence. Here's an example. I am all about affirmations, and they work. When a child is small, they're simple. When, as you get older, they become more complex. Johnny's excuse me, first affirmations were, I am smart, I can read, I can do it, because he didn't feel he was smart and he didn't feel he could do it. And when he couldn't do it, he would scratch himself, he would pull his hair out, and it was just heartbreaking to watch. So I made sure he did his affirmations every single day, twice a day, in the morning when he woke up, in the evening before he went to bed. And I remember him asking me, Miss Lisa, can I do them instead of my prayers? And I said, if you do prayers, they're in addition to your prayers. No way, you can't forget the prayers. Anyway, so as he got older, I gave him affirmations to do as far as goals he wanted to achieve in his life. He wanted to be the best video game player. So he said, I am great at whatever game was his favorite game. I am fabulous at robotics. That was a wonder for him. Robotics made him think. He worked with his hands. He could create. So he worked on things that he wanted to become perfect at. And he learned how to, he developed better social language skills, which were so important. He went up to kids and introduced himself, and he wasn't able to do that. And one thing that did help him, and at Creative Learning Concepts, this is one thing that is so outside the box, we used the dog we had at the time to help him calm his mind. And oh my gosh, it's so heartbreaking because she's no longer with us, but she made him feel so calm and at peace when he worked with her. And anything that helps the kids, I'm all about that.
And tell us now, where is he at now? And I do know that you use your pets and your therapy, which obviously has been proven to be very successful in treating all kinds of patients and children. Where's he at now? Did he graduate? How's he doing? He's on his own.
He did graduate high school. He did go to an alternative school for the last couple years of high school, I believe, but he was taking classes in his own school district, and he is involved in robotics, anything that's creative, and he's really flourishing.
Well, that sounds like a great success story. I wish all stories were as successful, and certainly, once again, we do know that most of your therapies are a lot shorter than that. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show with Lisa Popper, founder of the Popper Institute and director of Creative Learning Concepts. For more information on the Popper Institute, you can call 844-4-POPPER or visit our online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, Lisa Popper, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about the importance of early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now, Lisa, coming back to the last segment where you gave us an example of a young man who came to you during, I guess he was for a long time, he finally finished up high school, graduated successfully, appeared with a myriad of problems. One of the things you talked about was the fact that he had these problems, they were very evident, you treated the problems, but at the same time he was also, and you've talked about this before, a subject of bullying and being taunted about being in school, when he was in school, for the obvious, you know, manifestation of what his problems were when he was in school. Now, Siobhan, I'm going to pass the microphone over to you and ask you what your experiences were when you were in school with bullying.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the one thing that comes to mind that's very important is that, you know, it's not kind of like the old days where, you know, bullying was sort of reduced to, well, the kid that's getting beat up in school. Now we have this entire world of the internet. And, you know, in my childhood, it wasn't even Facebook because that hadn't existed yet. But, you know, AOL Instant Messenger and all of these sort of anonymous ways of, you know, talking to kids and being able to send, you know, subtle jabs to someone that maybe you didn't like without having to put your face to it. And it's kind of a dangerous world out there, and it's not, you don't necessarily have to have a diagnosable problem or something that's necessarily wrong with you to be bullied. I mean, when I think about my elementary school experience, for example, I had started in a Montessori school and then transferred into another private school, and I was kind of ahead of the curve in math, science, and foreign language, and I remember in French class, I always knew the answer to the question right off the bat, so I'd raise my hand immediately, you know. That's kind of your basic instinct if you know the answer is raise your hand. And I remember, you know, a handful of girls came up to me and were kind of making fun of me, and they just said, oh, you're so annoying. You're always raising your hand in French class. You're such a know-it-all. And what sort of message does that send to a young developing woman that, oh, intelligence isn't cool. It's not a cool thing to raise your hand and know the answer, that it's better to just sort of suppress your ideas and play dumb. And, you know, those sort of things can really, really sort of shape the person that you turn into. And that sort of subtle bullying is almost more damaging in some ways than, you know, the old school style of, you know, just getting kind of a slap in the face.
So how did you overcome it? I mean, I understand that kids can be marginalized, and especially smart kids, we tend to think about, you know, kids with problems, but there's also the kid who is just trying to fit in. So how do you become unmarginalized?
I think it's definitely really difficult. I mean, for me, it was sort of unusual because when I, you know, joined this school after I switched out of Montessori, I felt like I was kind of surrounded by kids that were just a lot not like me. And, you know, as I got into middle school, more handfuls of kids came in that were sort of the more bookish types, you know, that thought that intelligence was cool. And I think it helped to eventually grow and have a group of friends that sort of saw eye to eye with me on what was important. But I remember having, struggling a lot in elementary school with feeling very bad about myself. And, you know, especially being, you know, you see people in school by face, and then you can go online after school on these instant messengers or Facebook or whatever and have totally different communications. And it's all this sort of, you know, conflicting information about what's important and trying to navigate through that, you know, as a developing young person. So, I mean, I think definitely finding a group of people that agree with you and can, you know, be supportive of you, that's a huge benefit.
And what can kids in school do in order to handle bullying? I mean, you obviously handled it in your way. You grew into a point in your life, you said, where you met a bunch of nerds just like you, and you sort of created your own clique. But what would you say other kids did? Because obviously some of these kids wind up, it becomes a psychological thing, and then they wind up in treatment, and they wind up coming to creative learning concepts or coming in with, you know, to see people like Lisa. So what, how do they get out of that situation?
Well, I think there are definitely a variety of answers. I think the biggest danger in bullying is that it's not discussed, and a lot of it is hidden. Parents don't know about it, friends don't know about it, and a lot of times people are embarrassed to admit that they might be being bullied. Or even worse, sometimes kids that are being bullied react by bullying other kids. And that just sort of propagates the system of, you know, an eye for an eye and just kind of not really solving the greater issue. But, you know, for a lot of my friends that I knew that might have experienced the same thing, I think having a creative outlet or something that they could really engage themselves in or immerse themselves in helped a lot. For me, of course, besides finding a group of friends, I was really heavily involved in music. And, you know, that was a way that I could sort of release any sort of emotional tension in my life. You know, and finding a community in different artistic activities or scholarly activities definitely helped a lot. And I think also having a relationship with your parents is a huge thing, and it's a thing that a lot of kids are sort of veering away from now because they go to school, they're with kids, they have an experience, and they go home and they're glued to devices, whether it's a phone, whether it's the internet, whether it's video games, you know, all this sort of virtual reality and not really sitting down at the dinner table and communicating eye to eye with their parents on a daily basis, what's going on? Is there something wrong? You know, and even just having a friend that can ask you, is there something wrong? It makes a huge difference. And I think that's what we're seriously lacking, is just the fact that there are these problems that exist and they're not really being discussed.
Right. And also, there's the question of empathy, of kids that are in school understanding and being empathic about what their friends are going through.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, social media kind of propagates this whole existence. It's that, you know, a lot of people are kind of reduced to this sort of foreign being. And, you know, we're not necessarily forced to face people in the same way that we used to. You can call someone up and say something mean. You can send them an instant message and say something mean. I mean, you hear all sorts of horrifying stories of kids that have committed suicide or gotten involved in drugs or, you know, drinking at ridiculously young ages because they're dealing with serious emotional issues, you know, maybe from other kids that are bullying them from afar, that maybe not kids that they even interact with at school, but are sending them, you know, hate mail and all sorts of scary things. So, yeah, it's definitely a huge issue.
Yeah, and having somebody to talk to, you mentioned about the fact of, you know, talking with parents at home, and, you know, certainly it's important to sit at the dinner table and eat and discuss rather than having all your cell phones around. But Lisa, did you want to comment on what you see with, obviously, that one patient was bullied as well as having his other problems, and how do you handle the bullying issue?
Well, I wanted to talk about empathy. First off, because when Siobhan was mentioning it, it reminded me of my son in middle school who witnessed a boy he knew had a diagnosis of Asperger's, and he noticed every single day when school was out, he was getting bullied, and they were physically assaulting him, taunting him, and my son's heart broke to the point where he went up to the kid and he put his arm out to the boys who were assaulting him, and they said, get away. That's not right. What you're doing is not right. And my son befriended him. And they ended up bullying my son because the same boys ended up bullying my son because he befriended this boy who was unique to them. And I think it's pathetic. It's really not what we should be teaching our kids. We should be teaching our kids empathy and acceptance.
Yes, and that's obviously, I know that you've mentioned this with some of the kids that you treat at Creative Learning Concepts. The issue of bullying comes up a lot because you are seeing kids who have challenges in many different areas. Those challenges become noticeable in the school. And other kids, maybe in the elementary school or maybe even in the middle school, are just looking at somebody who's different. And the bullying is just a sort of an automatic byproduct. So you're handling that at Creative Learning Concepts as well.
Yes, and I'm also talking to parents about this and the fact that we urge the children to tell their parents that something's going on in school. And if they don't want to talk to their parents, they surely talk to me. And I think it's essential that they talk to somebody. And if they want me to talk to their parents, I will.
Yeah, it's very important, I think, to have somebody in your corner. And if they don't have it at home or they don't have it in school or they don't have a special friend or a group they belong to, then certainly you're assisting with that at Creative Learning Concepts. Well, we're going to go to a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show with Lisa Popper, founder of the Popper Institute and director of Creative Learning Concepts. For more information on the Popper Institute, you can call 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with the director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, Lisa Popper, and Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist. We're here talking about the importance of early childhood education and the need to keep children engaged in school for their benefit and for all our benefits. Now, Siobhan, during the last segment, we talked about children's dependence on the internet and how they sometimes learn in a distorted way or pick up information in a distorted way. Do you want to continue to pick up on that thought?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, the big issue is that there's no limit to the amount of information you can necessarily gain on the internet. And, you know, as a result, kids have access to this massive world of you know, different ideas and thoughts and information that, you know, some of it's true and some of it isn't. And, you know, I think the fact that kids learn so much just by surfing the internet. I mean, there's no control on the amount of information that they're taking in on a given day. And, you know, because it's a silent activity, you're just looking at a screen and typing in things. It's very hard for parents to, you know, necessarily know exactly what's going on. And, you know, I think this has filtered into all areas of life. We were talking at the break about, you know, if you're thinking that you're having certain symptoms, you can go online and look up, you know, WebMD or various different websites, and, you know, kids can get all sorts of ideas and try and, you know, diagnose themselves with something they may not necessarily have. It's interfered in a lot of ways with sexual education, the way that kids are learning about sex through the internet. Lisa, did you want to add something about that?
You know, kids are getting such distorted views about sex from the internet, and they should really have the appropriate view on sex, what it means, from home, not the internet, because you have all those pornographic sites and sites that are inappropriate for most kids, and they're distorted, they're unreliable. And I think when it comes to sex, that's such an important issue with kids of any age. You don't want them learning it from a site that's not reliable.
Absolutely. It's so unpredictable, the sort of information that you're going to find on the internet. And especially in regards to sex education, you know, if you think about the way that, at least from my experience, the way it was taught in school, it's, you know, we were saying it's almost more like a science class. It's like, well, here are the mechanics, and then we're going to talk about contraception. But then, you know, the whole idea of, emotional intimacy and things that have to do with relationships with other people, that there's a huge void in that discussion. And, you know, I think a lot of kids that are probably curious or maybe don't talk about it with their parents or don't address it with their friends or aren't talking about it in school or are, you know, turning to the internet and turning to other sites, that, you know, pornographic or otherwise, to sort of fill in the gap of, you know, well, what does it mean to be intimate with someone, and getting a totally, you know, distorted view of what it really is.
You need to have a person-to-person discussion about all this stuff, because it's going to affect the rest of their lives, how they feel about themselves sexually, how they feel about themselves emotionally, their body image. You can't get anything that's going to be useful to you on that subject from a screen.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, this is a topic that you could spend an entire show talking about, but it's definitely, just from my experience as a young person, especially in regards to body image, there's a big discrepancy between the way girls develop in their sexuality and the way the boys develop in their sexuality. You know, a lot of it having to do with pornography and other things. And there's that big gap between, you know, the sort of information, because it's such an independent endeavor in so many ways, because, you know, boys may be seeking out certain things on the internet and girls may be totally oblivious to all of this. And, you know, you grow into adulthood and suddenly you're operating on totally different levels. And there's, you know, there's a huge discussion that isn't happening in many ways about these sort of things.
And that's another issue, is about, like you brought up, about body image and, you know, what the idealized body image is. And you're looking at all these photographs and, you know, there are images that are on, like you mentioned that in the last show about these images. What is it? What was that, Snapchat or something, that where they show you a picture and you go from, Tinder, go from left to right or whatever, shows you what I know. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's really, it's a very influential thing with its good points and bad points, but.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you see, we've exemplified the generation gap because Snapchat and Tinder aren't exactly comparable. But yeah, absolutely. You know, and like I said, of course, it's a huge topic to cover. But in addition to social media, there are just all sorts of, you know, there's a plethora of information out there that's sending mixed signals to, you know, every generation. And, I think there's just a lot of room for development and a lot of room for opening, you know, further open discussions and addressing these issues.
Well, it certainly is a very wide subject that we're not going to conclude on at this show. We'll have to carry this over to another show. Well, we're out of time tonight, and that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute, along with Siobhan Cronin, commentator and concert violinist as well. Please do what you can to keep your children engaged, excited, motivated, and in love with learning, for them and for all of us. You can contact Lisa Popper at the Popper Institute by calling 844 4POPPER. That's 844-4POPPER. Or online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We are closing tonight's show with the ABC Rap, conceived and co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper Low Fat and violinist Siobhan Cronin. Good night and enjoy the music.
Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best. Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight or down, down you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D, it's for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gonna make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life get hectic, it's all gravy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome life diversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions. Don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too. Now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success. Now let's get it. T is for the truth for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. V is for the victory, it is the sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day. Yeah, through the day. Yeah, through the day. Yeah, always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best. Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best. Life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing